The last thing I want to ask you about is bevacizumab and the data that have come out now over the past year on that drug and how you see that now affecting clinical practice in the metastatic setting. Can you kind of review that story?
There have been generally two large studies with bevacizumab, or also known as Avastin. The first study was done in heavily pretreated patients, where patients received Xeloda or capecitabine plus or minus bevacizumab. That study did not show a benefit of the addition of bevacizumab. In a more recent study, in patients in first-line metastatic setting, were randomized to receive Taxol or paclitaxel plus or minus bevacizumab. In that setting, bevacizumab significantly improved the time to treatment progression. It doubled the time to treatment progression at a statistically significant p-value. To date, as I understand, there is no impact on overall survival. It's equivalent in both groups. So in my selection of patients that may benefit from bevacizumab, I basically follow the guidelines of that study. So patients in first-line setting will receive bevacizumab and Taxol as per the study that Kathy Miller presented in San Antonio and in ASCO last year.
Are there any situations where you would use bevacizumab with some other form of chemotherapy?
I think that because of the negative study in heavily pretreated patients, I do not believe that we have any data in that setting in patients more than perhaps 1 to 2 lines metastatic treatment. Would we use bevacizumab in combination with some other chemotherapy? There is no reason to suppose that it will only work in combination with Taxol if it's an anti-angiogenesis agent. Having said that, I try to limit my use as much as the eligibility criteria for Kathy Miller's study.
Can you talk about some of the side effects and toxicity issues with Avastin?
Avastin is given every 2 weeks by intravenous infusion. The main two toxicities are it can cause an increase in blood pressure, and the other thing is it may cause proteinuria. Both of these side effects can be a little worrisome, but can be well controlled. So urine dipsticks for protein secretion is indicated in patients who are undergoing bevacizumab therapy. And if it is of significant proteinuria, then a 24-hour urine collection is indicated. In the study, after the protein excretion has exceeded a certain amount, the bevacizumab is withheld. So those are the main toxicities with Avastin or bevacizumab. In terms of tolerability with the patient, it is well tolerated. There are very few side effects, again, apart from the two that I've mentioned, that the oncologists and the nursing community need to be aware of.
Now, in colon cancer, we've seen bowel perforation with bevacizumab, and lung cancer, we've seen thoracic hemorrhage with bevacizumab. Have we seen those two problems with bevacizumab and breast cancer?
So bevacizumab is supposed to decrease wound healing and may cause hemorrhage. It is less in breast because it's not been given, less in the neoadjuvant setting where you then proceed to surgery. But that same is not so for colorectal cancer. Other complication, and we do not know whether this will be a major concern, is in patients with cerebral metastases, will there be a cerebral hemorrhage with the use of Avastin? And that we do not know.